south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Before we get started, a message or two. First off, for pretty much the entire month of August 2023, coming up starting, I think, next week now, I'll be traveling a lot in and out of the jungle. So the shows, the new shows that is, may be spotty. That means there'll be some repeat shows thrown in there, you know, the worst of the expat files. So expect next month, August, to be a mixed bag of shows. Some new, some repeats. That said, you know, one of the biggest topics of discussion amongst expats and expat wannabes and goodbyes is how to find business opportunities once you get down here. Hey, we all have time on our hands once we get down here. We're all looking for something to do, and if it makes us money, all the better, right? You don't want to sit around the pool all day drinking Mai Tais, do you? Well, maybe. Well, you longtime listeners have heard me say many times it's kind of pointless to sit up in Cleveland or Milwaukee or New York planning the business you're going to have once you get down here to Latin America. You might have some great ideas and all that, but most of the time, that's not the business you end up in. I'd say 95% of the time, gringos and expats who have really thriving businesses down here in Latin America never in a million years planned on having that kind of particular business. It's something that never crossed their mind when they were up in the States. They saw the opportunity when they got down here, opened their eyes, and got some boots on the ground. That's usually how it happens almost every time. Then, of course, there's those not-so-creative gringos and expats who have this idea in their head, and they've had it for a long, long time, that they're going to open a mom-and-pop restaurant or Airbnb. You know, boring businesses, but to each his own. And sometimes they work out. But, you know, traditional sort of tourist-based businesses like that, restaurants, Airbnbs, etc., are not born out of creativity or discovering a certain niche to fill. If that's your dream, you can expect lots of competition. So you better have something to cut above to offer or you ain't going to make it. And, of course, the worst competition they have is gringo and expat competition. It's one thing competing against the locals. You could beat them with your eyes closed. But gringo and expat competition, that you'd like to avoid at all costs. But you knew that already, right? So then what about these business niches gringos and expats find once they've been down here a while and had some boots on the ground? Some gringo businesses are pretty wild. You can hardly believe they make a profit, but they do. The amazing thing is that some of the most successful ones didn't take much startup money at all. Some of them are just straight internet businesses with no inventory and almost no overhead. How cool is that? Better yet, no employees to pay but yourself. For example, I know a certain European gringa expat lady who's been in Guatemala for, I think, about a year, boots on the ground now. She started a new business in a most unlikely niche, an internet business that she calls Hola, Mi Amor, which means, hello, my love. I know, you're curious. What's that about? I'm actually plugging it here because I think it's a really good idea. I hope it works out for her. Let me read the explanation of this thing to you that she has up on her website. She says, Hola Mi Amor is a premium membership website for expat men and women who would like to date locals in Guatemala. Well, there you have it. That says it all. So what it is a mating and dating app exclusively for Guatemala. She further explains it was born out of the discussions picked up amongst the male expat friends she knows. She says they find the Guatemalan ladies quite charming, but they don't have many opportunities to meet them. A lot of them, by the way, are just plain shy. And the ones that don't speak any English at all feel a little bit self-conscious talking to a gringo. She says besides being a dating site online, there'll be 6 weekly face-to-face speed dating events in Antigua, Guatemala, and Guatemala City. So then how does it differ from the usual Cupid sites, which we all know can be minefields? You've heard me talk about that plenty of times on this show. A lot of scammers, fakers, and gold diggers out there. Anyway, our expat lady who set up this business created an intense questionnaire to help weed out the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scammers. Anyway, it promises to be a different kind of dating site. And just the fact that it's run by an expat first world gringo lady who's been down here for a while. A lady that I know personally. I know it's on the up and up. Or I would not be talking about it here. So then how do you sign up? Well, you just go to holamiamorgt.com. That's holamiamorgt.com. Check out the website. It's pretty cool. All right, now for some disturbing news, especially for you gringos and expats up there who are on the fence or haven't really got that plan B going yet, but you're thinking about it or you've got some kind of five-year plan you're working on. You better step on it because certain forces are conspiring against you. Well, you know, one of the key steps in getting your residency in any Latin American country or any country for that matter is to get an FBI report. And with some countries, you need both an FBI report and a local sheriff's report. Guess what? A listener just sent me the news that he's going for residency in El Salvador. You know, El Salvador, that extremely safe little country in Central America that the U.S. government loves to hate. Well, guess what? This listener just received notification that the U.S. government straight up refused to produce a criminal record check for him, that FBI report, even though that's what you need. It's required for the purpose of migrating and receiving residency in El Salvador. Bottom line, he's screwed. He can't get residency. Now, of course, the person has every legal right to this document, but it's being withheld and denied regardless. I repeat, sourcing your FBI and criminal records documents are absolute keys to getting your residency started in any country. And for the U.S. government to start withholding that information because you want to move to El Salvador, a country they love to hate, to pull that off, to spring that on you, is very disturbing news. Now, it's unknown how often this has been happening. I personally never thought of this scenario. I didn't think the government could do that. The law says everyone has the right to check their own criminal records. You pay your $25 or $50, whatever, and they have to give it to you. Apparently, that's not so anymore. The government's playing dirty. Haven't they always, though, when they felt like it? Play dirty? What else is new? So anyway, be advised if your plan B involves applying for residency anywhere. It's only getting harder and harder. It's obvious Uncle Sam does not want his cows leaving the barn. I was going to say sheep leaving the barn, but the sheep don't even know they're locked in the barn. All right, moving on. Got an interesting email from longtime listener Douglas, who is living in Maryland, but his wife was born in Guatemala a long, long time ago. I think she came to the States maybe when she was 3 or 6 or something. Anyway, if you've been following his story, which I've mentioned here and there on the show, his wife has inherited some property and stuff down in Guatemala, and they're getting the hell out of Dodge as soon as he gets the hell out of his commitment to working in the States. Anyway, in a recent email, he mentioned some interesting things that haven't been brought up before. Like, for example, his wife is Guatemalan, but doesn't have a Guatemalan passport, and she's looking to get one, of course. She's entitled to one because she was born there. But when she was in the States producing her original birth certificate at the Guatemalan embassy there, it was one of the old handwritten ones and is not considered valid anymore. That ratty old dog-eared paper document has to be upgraded. That means a couple of more hoops to jump through with a Guatemalan agency called RENAP, R-E-N-A-P, who will issue a new one in time, mañana time. I guess that's sort of understandable. Anyway, the odd thing is, and they are moving to Guatemala, and therefore her husband, Douglas, will be applying for residency there too. He'll have no problem getting it either because he's married to a Guatemalan. So it's more or less instant. Again, according to the rules of mañana time. The odd thing is, though, he discovered, that is Douglas discovered, in trying to get his residency in Guatemala, that the country of Guatemala does not recognize a USA marriage, which complicates things. And so with getting her new registered Guatemalan birth certificate and Guatemalan passport, she's registered as single, even though they've been married for 28 years. The marriage, of course, performed stateside. So in order for Douglas to get that quick and easy Guatemalan residency and final passport, he has to jump through a couple of more hoops with the Guatemalan consulate closest to where they live in the States. That's how they'll get their marriage registered in Guatemala. By the way, that's why I've heard so many stories about Latinos. I've met a few personally myself, who end up with 2 different secret families. One family in Latin America and one up in the States with another woman. All those guys, of course, moral scumbag lowlifes. By the way, that's how a lot of them end up getting their permanent residency, by marrying a girl up in the States. Almost always a Latina from the barrio, who is a U.S. resident or citizen. They end up in a Latino barrio because they can disappear there, blend right in. Plus, in the barrio, everyone speaks Spanish and there's no necessity to speak English. In fact, just yesterday, I was with a Latina and her brother who told me that very same story about their so-called useless cousin. He's 25 years old, got a wife and kids in Latin America, abandoned them, paid coyotes to take them to the States, and within 6 months, found a girl to marry up there. Of course, she's got no idea he has a whole other family. He'll never tell her, and she might never find out unless he gets deported. But being a legal resident by virtue of his marriage to her, he can't get deported even if he commits a crime. Or I should say, if he gets caught committing a crime. By the way, after I heard that story, I said to that Latina and her brother, I'd say your cousin's one of the reasons regular Americans can't stand illegal Latinos sneaking into their country. But I digress as usual. Back to Doug's email. He says, Johnny, I ran by Home Depot today. He's in Maryland. Looking at cordless lawnmowers, and guess what? The tool sections, all of them, Ryobi, Milwaukee, DeWalt, now have metal screens locked in place to prevent theft. He says, the area I live in is starting to look more third world than most third world countries I've traveled to. Isn't it funny, he says, store owners in third world countries can defend themselves against theft. Thanks for that, Doug. Man, he's right about that. Believe me, you don't want to get caught shoplifting in a third world store. Let me give you a little example that just happened this week in Cuenca, Ecuador. The title of this good news headline, Thieves, once again, beaten by residents. It says, two men suspected of robbing a South Cuenca tienda, that's a little store, were detained and beaten, and their motorcycle set on fire last Thursday. Oh yeah, if you only could get away with that up in the States, huh? Wouldn't be a motorcycle left in San Francisco or Portland or L.A. Anyway, the article goes on to say, after they left the Avenida Loja, little tienda, the store, the men were surrounded by a group of at least 9 neighborhood residents. They forced the robbers to turn over the stolen cash, and then they attacked. Police arrived within minutes. Well, that's something new. There must have been a donut shop next door. Meanwhile, a day later on Friday, a suspected thief was captured by residents on Avenida Don Bosco and was beaten. According to residents, the man had threatened at least 3 small businesses in the area if they didn't pay him protection money. According to the police, who later took the man into custody, he was beaten and his motorcycle destroyed. Yep, sounds to me the local residents are not limp-wristed cowards. Let that be a lesson to all you cowards up in the States standing around in stores watching people steal and walking right out the door. I know. You don't want to get involved. You don't want to make a fuss. Well, then guess what? When it happens to you, when you get robbed on the street or in your car, don't expect any help from anyone. Just saying, but who am I? Just some stupid gringo who jumped ship 30-something years ago. Well, before the U.S. turned into a wimpy, soft nation of woke, whiny snowflakes. Who knows? Maybe if I'd never left, I'd be stealing stuff and living under a bridge too, having lost my job a long time ago because I opened my mouth and offended too many sensitive wokesters way too many times. And to think, when I left, they said I was the fool. I was the crazy one. Oh, and every last one of them said, all my friends and family, he'll be back with his tail between his legs. That is, if he isn't kidnapped, shot, or sold into white slavery first. I'm sure they were thinking, poor Johnny, what a deluded dummy. What he needs is a shrink, but doesn't know it. Oh, by the way, remember a couple of months ago I was talking about snakes in Latin America? Well, you know, the closer you get to the equator and the closer you are to the Amazon and the closer you are towards sea level, the more snakes, the more critters in general, the bigger they are in general, too. Well, here's a snake update. By the way, down here they call them serpientes, like serpents in the Bible, serpientes, or culebras, a derivative of the word cobra, culebra, cobra. Which is kind of funny because there are no cobras in Central or South America. They only exist in Africa and Asia. And India is part of Asia. You knew that, right? That's why it's sort of odd to hear Latinos call them culebras, cobras. Though we all kind of get what the word serpiente means. Anyway, news again this week out of Ecuador. Officials are warning residents to be on the alert for boa constrictors. Although the snake, the boa, is native to the coastal region of Ecuador, recent rains have forced many of them from their native habitat to residential areas. Then it says more than a dozen boa constrictors have been removed from homes in western and northern Guayaquil just this week. That's according to the local fire department, the bomberos in Spanish. It turns out you see it when you find a snake in your house in Central or South America. If there's no macho guy around to shush it out with a stick, you don't call the cops because they might not come till tomorrow. Whereas the fire department, probably within a half an hour. I mean, really, you guys up in Milwaukee, Cleveland, New York, when you have a snake in the house, who do you call? But I digress again. Back to the article. It says, according to the fire department, seven more boa constrictors were found in nearby Duran homes as well. Of course, any snake in the house is a nasty business, but some people I've talked to like boa constrictors because they kill rats and mice and the occasional cat. So, should you panic? Not to worry. They squeeze their prey to death. They don't bite unless they're swallowing something, and they don't have venom. In fact, almost all the snake owners up in the States and in Europe, you know, those crazy snake owners, they own boa constrictors. That's the snake lover's pet of choice. By the way, did I tell you back in high school there was a really hot girl who had pet snakes, which dramatically lowered her mating value? Snake lovers are funny since 99% of the rest of the world hates them. I'm sure it goes back to religion and the Bible and all that. So I kind of think some snake lovers don't really love their snakes. They just like owning them for shock value when, you know, company comes over. Hey, if that's what it takes to keep this swagra away, swagra is mother-in-law. By the way, I have to admit, here in Latin America, I'm not hearing any bad mother-in-law stories from my gringo expat friends who've married Latinas, or gringas married to Latinos. It's part of that gringo advantage working in your favor again. For Latino parents, having a gringo or gringa son or daughter-in-law in the family is a huge plus. I've yet to meet a single gringo married to a Latina or gringa married to a Latino who says they don't get along with their suegra or mother-in-law. Now that's one big cultural difference here in Latin America that you'll never find out about unless you're married to or in a long-term relationship with a Latino or Latina. File that for future reference. So anyway, about snakes in Latin America and those snake stories that sometimes creep into these podcasts. You know, after that last round of snake stories I told a couple months ago, I got, I think, 3 or 4 emails from guys saying, Johnny, I know why you told those snake stories. They said, because you're thinking too many gringos and expats are flooding into Latin America and you want to put the brakes on that. There's no better way, at least from keeping gringas from coming down, than to toss out a few snake stories. All right. You got me. Anyway, that's a pretty good segue into our next email. He says, and as usual, I'll paraphrase to cut out the boring parts and the criticisms of me I don't like. Why not? It's my prerogative, right? Anyway, the header on this email is, what's your take on the safety in Colombia and Ecuador as of August 2023? He starts out, hello, Mr. Johnny. My friend Dave, who is a longtime regular listener of your podcast and the guy who turned me on to your show, suggested that I write you to ask about safety concerns in Colombia and Ecuador in 2023, since I booked a ticket to Bogota for August 1st and will just be landing there to explore, no other plans made. He says, I've been living in Panajachel, Guatemala for the past 2 years, and though I love it there because the lake is beautiful and the weather consistently comfortable, the number of cars and motos and pollution and noise have all increased quite a bit since September 2021. Not to mention gringo taxes, i.e. gringo prices, seem to be unpredictable and quite common here now. So my plan is to start exploring other countries in Central and South America to find a clean, safe, and economical place where I can live simply, peacefully, and naturally, outside the matrix system of the U.S. and the First World. The thing is, Johnny, I'm a true minimalist. All my possessions fit in one backpack, and I only want a small, furnished bedroom with a private bathroom and a shared kitchen. I also don't mind living with others. And since I don't trust the fear porn that is rampant in the lamestream media, I figured it would be best to ask you, an expert expat, about the reality of Colombia and Ecuador regarding the safety issues. In other words, would you say Colombia and Ecuador are safe for backpacking and exploring to find a place to live with only having a small bag and no major valuables? I would also add that I'm a 42-year-old English-Spanish bilingual, a non-drinker and don't go out at night, and have no interest in buying or selling drugs. Thanks in advance for your time and advice. Signed, Mr. Joe, a refugee from the U.S. All right, Joe, thanks for that. Good questions. How about let's start with Colombia? First off, you'll find it's a lot more expensive than in Guatemala. So you'll find if you want to live cheap, backpacker style, shared kitchen and all. you'll certainly end up living in one of the barrios, where it should be no problem to find something for $200 a month. The problem is, the lower you want to pay in rent, that is, the noisier, the scruffier, the more chaotic the neighborhood. That's if you choose the big city like Bogota. However, some of those little towns out in the boonies of 5,000 or 10,000 people in Colombia are very picturesque, calm, and nice. Very good places to just hang if you're not a person who's real active and likes nightlife. Now, about the pure safety issues in Colombia, I don't want to go through the cliche answer of there are good and bad places in every country, even though there are. But it is true, even the bad guys don't much pick on backpackers or people who are dressed way down and have no bling. Unless maybe the backpacker looks too fresh, clean, and turned out and has real leather paraphernalia and who's outfitted in real brand name hiking boots, backpacking gear, etc. After all, there are a few rich people back to nature types that slum it as backpackers. They're easy to spot. Expensive watch, manicured nails and all. I find when backpackers get robbed, it's usually by another backpacker. It seems to depend a lot on the neighborhood you're living in. The lower the rent, the more the personal risk. The thing is, too, if you've been living in Panajachel for a couple of years, you've already got kind of a sixth sense for scoping out a place. You already kind of know how safe or unsafe it is to be there. And of course, you said you don't go out much at night, so you're already off the radar during the times when most petty crimes are committed. At least the ones that are singling out gringos and expats, because, hey, I noticed when there is petty crime, it's pointed at gringos who have a certain pattern. They go to certain bars every night, often have too much to drink, live in a low-end neighborhood that's not gated or guarded. In other words, when they go out at night alone, they're often letting down their guard, as people do when they're partying and have a few drinks. Now, the other question is Colombia getting more dangerous month by month, year by year? I'd say no, it's pretty much the same. I go in and out, and it hasn't changed much to me. But I can tell you, Ecuador has become a lot more dangerous. You longtime listeners know I've never been hot on the place myself ever since International Living some 10 years ago. Called it the number one gringo expat retirement destination in the world. I just knew in time it would be turned into a mini Costa Rica. And one of the main problems with Costa Rica, besides the fact that gringos and expats have jacked up the cost of living tremendously, a bigger problem is a sort of criminal class of Costa Ricans has been flourishing on the backs of mostly fresh green gringos. No, not directly. They don't just walk up and pull a gun on you and steal your purse or your camera. They're just so good at scamming and gouging the hell out of you. You don't even know it till well after you've been had. Though I have to admit, with all the gringos flooding into Ecuador, it's still pretty cheap to live there. In fact, the cost of living might even be slightly lower than Guatemala. But again, Joe, if you've been a backpacker-style guy pretty much the whole time you've been down here, a couple of years now, as you say, I'm thinking you'll be just fine. By the way, when talking about an even lower cost of living than Guatemala, I mean if you're living very simple backpacker-style. Because as you've probably heard me say on this show, in South America, all appliances and electronics and cars are a lot more expensive than they are in Central America. But you knew that already. However, food and housing, still very cheap. So no problem living backpacker style in Ecuador, that's for sure. Different story completely in Colombia, especially if you're into mating and dating. You know, with the extreme popularity of Colombian girls on the internet now, on those Cupid sites, if you're living backpacker style, don't expect to wine and dine the ladies because they're high maintenance. Sure, high maintenance Latin American style is in no way equal to high maintenance first world style. But still, over and over again, I'm hearing stories from gringos in the game that the Colombian ladies are always hitting you up for dough. For a new phone, for the internet bill, grandma's medicine, mama's broken tooth. So, Joe, I don't know if you're in the dating and mating game, but if you are, Ecuador will be much kinder to your wallet. And now, an email from a seminar attendee. Mr. P says, Johnny, just a quick update for you on our trip last month down to Guatemala. We had lots of laughs, exciting adventures, and so much fun traveling to Antigua and Lake Atitlan, Guatemala City, and on and on. As always, he says, almost everyone we met, either in a hotel, restaurant, shop, bar, park, or just on the streets, were so kind and helpful. As you always say, Johnny, very happy people. Then he says, I heard your show from Friday, and you made a comment about never meeting a French person in Guatemala. Well, we met a French guy in Antigua who has a restaurant called Le Comedor. He says, Johnny, do yourself a favor and stop by to see him next time you're in Antigua. Turns out the guy grew up in France and went to culinary school there, had restaurants in the States for many years, but fell in love with Antigua, Guatemala years ago and finally decided to move down and enjoy the mañana time lifestyle. He says the place was great And the most expensive meal was something like $15, and that was either beef tenderloin or foie gras. Either one of those dishes would have been $75 plus in the States. Meanwhile, he said, I had one of those only in Latin America boots on the ground stories while visiting the volcano Pacaya. He says, once we finally dragged our tired asses huffing and puffing up that steep, seemingly never-ending slope at the lookout, we saw two police officers there, a man and a woman. He says, I've been working hard on my Spanish for 10 or 11 months now on the Duolingo app, and it's helped tremendously, so I proceeded to introduce myself and my wife to the officers. I asked them a few simple questions about their families and kids, etc. They were both very kind and excused my poor grammar. I noticed, though, the semi-auto pistol that the gentleman was carrying, and of course, it didn't look familiar, like a Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, or any other make I'd seen, so I asked him what caliber it was. He told me it was a 9mm, so without thinking, I asked if I could look at it. Much to my surprise, he took it out of the holster, dropped the magazine, checked the chamber to make sure it was empty, and handed it to me. As I was looking at it, the thought went through my mind, if only Johnny could see this one. A cop in the uniform, on the job, hands a total stranger his service weapon without a second thought or delay. Definitely only happens on a volcano in Latin America. So we said our goodbyes and headed off down the trail to see the massive lava flow fields and to buy a few souvenirs. After a few minutes, my wife said, you know, I secretly got a picture of you looking at that officer's gun. You're such a nerd. I couldn't wait to send the picture to a couple of my old friends at home who are cops, just for a good laugh. Then he says, I could bore you to tears with a dozen more stories from our week that went far too fast, but you got better things to do, I'm sure. So thanks again, Johnny, for helping us get a head start on our plan B and giving us the confidence to stretch our boundaries a bit and enjoy spending time in a place so fun, beautiful, chaotic, and relaxing, and at the same time, quite simply, so different from what we're accustomed to. Hasta luego, amigo. Mr. P and Company. By the way, he and his wife came to my last Expat Insider Seminar. Great people. Great to have them along. By the way, I'm sure if a stranger asked a cop in the States if he could see his gun, he'd say, sure, pull out the clip and hand it to him. Yeah, right. That would happen, especially if the guy asking to see it was a Latino. Yeah, you know what? If someone took a secret video of that, it'd get millions of views and the guy'd get fired about 3 seconds later. But Mr. P's right. Things like that happen only in Latin America.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.